Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was at sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. She was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher and the father?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know of this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God who created us, sustains us, and brings us to this new day.
Amen.
Just outside of the Sea of Galilee, over in Israel, there is a shrine that's dedicated to women of the ancient world. It's called Magdala, and it was financed by the owner of Corona Beers. And there is a priest who manages that area and has developed the shrine. I'll tell you why I mention that in just a minute. But first, let me ask you this question. How desperate do you have to be before you act? What is it? At what point do you realize that conventionality, images, place in society, what your friends might think, what your family might think, what your spouse or partner might think, all of that is pushed aside because you have to act? Because the situation is desperate. We meet individuals in today's gospel passage who are desperate. Desperate. Two of them find themselves in an untenable situation. The third is so incredibly helpless that she is unable to do anything. She is unable to act. Let's begin with Jairus. Jairus was the leader of a synagogue who comes to Jesus for help. Now, the reality is that most of the people that Jesus interacted with were Jews. So it's not surprising that among those Jews that he interacted with were members of the temple, of the synagogue, and that some of those were undeniably leaders of the religious community who found interest in what Jesus was saying, who were interested in hearing what Jesus had heard and said and done in their midst. So what's important here is not so much that Jairus is a leader of the synagogue. It is an actuality that he is a leader in the synagogue. And so as a leader, Jairus would normally send one of his, minions to go to Jesus and say, please come and see me in the temple, because things are not quite right. But Jairus doesn't do that. Jairus himself comes to Jesus and throws himself at the feet of Jesus and pleads for Jesus to come and cure his daughter because she is so ill, she is at the door of death. Jairus does not care whether the Pharisees see him. Jairus does not care whether the Sadducees see him. Jairus does not care that the other members of the temple see him falling at the feet of this itinerant preacher, this lax carpenter from Nazareth. And by the way, can anything good come from Nazareth? He doesn't care. His daughter is ill. She is dying, and nothing seems to stop it. Nothing can seem to prevent it, and he will do anything to cure his daughter so that she might live. He is at the point of desperation, and so he acts. Which brings us to another principal character in our morality play this morning, and that is the woman who has the hemorrhage. And not just hemorrhaging, but hemorrhaging for 12 years. She has gone through her life savings, seeing every physician you can imagine. And nothing seems to stop. She continues to hemorrhage. Which means, of course, she's impure if she's constantly bleeding. And so she has been cast out. She's been set adrift. She has no one who can go and speak on her behalf. She has no validity in the community. She is a non-entity, and yet she is so desperate for help. She comes in the midst of the crowd, and I can well imagine what the crowd must have been like. In the midst of the crowd, she's weaving through them, which brings me to Magdala. We have the good fortune of having a service in one of the small chapels. This one happened to be down on the lower level of the main building. Those of you who were with us on the trip, you may recall the incredibly powerful mural that was behind the altar. There was a mural that was about at this level. All you saw were feet and garments, and in the midst of all of this is a hand coming out to touch one. It is her hand, and the garment is Jesus. If I can just touch his garment, that's all it will take. Just let me get close enough to touch his garment. I'm that desperate. And of course, since she was hemorrhaging, she could not. So with her would go her lineage. So she's desperate enough to reach out and touch him. Which brings us to our third principal character this morning, and that is the 12-year-old girl. She is ill to the point of dying. And she can do nothing. She cannot cry out for help. She cannot go and press among the crowd and weave her way, little as she may be, maybe on her hands and knees. You know how children like to do that, get involved in the middle of things so she can reach Jesus. She can't do it. She lies lifeless on her bed. And there's such a commotion that Jesus says to the crowd, please, go outside. Leave us alone. Because Jesus is not there for spectacle. Jesus is there to act. And he tells her, Olympia, come. Girl, rise. She does. And the desperation of Jairus' act brings her to Jesus and Jesus to her, and life is made anew. You see, this is a story of resurrection. This is a story not of resurrection. This is a story of resurrections. There's a volume discount here this morning. And everything has changed. Oh, there you go. Everything has changed. How desperate do you have to be before you act? How desperate must it be before you will risk anything and everything? Take your family to a foreign land to seek a better life? How desperate will it be until you stand up and you say no more to oppression? How desperate do you have to be until you say yes, freedom for all? How desperate do you have to be until you lay your very life at the feet of Jesus? And in so resurrection and new life. Not necessarily without cost. Not necessarily without risk. Jairus risked everything to save his daughter. The woman risked everything to reach out and touch Jesus. It's not without risk. Because it's so easy for us to stay in our places where we know we have it all together, even in reality when we don't.